1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 34. Let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God. As we read from the Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse number 34. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. And the servant slew both, lion and the bear. And the uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. I want to talk to you on the subject today. Be a conqueror. Be a conqueror. Father, thank you now for today. Thank you for the simple time that we can spend with you. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you flow through me to your people, to each and every heart, each and every mind, each and every soul. And that instead of hearing me speak, they'd hear you speak. And our hearts would be touched and you'd meet the needs of each one of us individually and personally through the preaching and the teaching of your word this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I believe the Bible teaches you and I that every battle you face is preparing you for a greater blessing down the road. Recently I was reading an article, and ended up to almost read a whole book, on Mount Everest. As I read, one particular story caught my interest, caught my eye greatly, and I became fascinated with it. It was a report of two climbers that were on an expedition, and they're out to try to get to the top of Everest. It was 1924, and they believed they could get there. And on their first trip, they packed up a bunch of oxygen equipment, and when they got to the place where Everest was so high that the air was so thin that they couldn't climb well, they pulled out the oxygen, and they kept trying to go, but again, they failed. Went back down the side of the mountain, and then they scheduled a second trip. And they took more gear, and they did lose some people with them at the time on the first trip. And they went back up and scaled the mountain the second time. Got a little further up, but not quite to there, and had weather problems and problems up there because, you know, there's snow and cold up there. And that's all you have. Doesn't matter what time of the year it is. That's what you get at the top of Mount Everest. And they came back down again, and they had failed the second time. And then on June 6th, they started up once again of 1924. They were last seen on June 8th of 1924. George Mallory and Andrew Irvin, as far as I know, never reached the summit and never returned. In 1999, a group of people went up the side of Everest again on the same slopes that they had gone, and they believed they found the remains of those two men just a little higher than they had made it on their second trip. So their third trip failed. Somewhere on that gigantic mountain, apparently they were overpowered by the elements and they died. After the failure of this particular expedition, the rest of the party that supported them returned home to London, where they were from. Addressing a meeting in London, one of these who returned described the ill-fated adventure. And he turned to a huge photograph of Mount Everest mounted on the wall behind him. And he said, Everest, we tried to conquer you once, but you overpowered us. We tried to conquer you a second time, but again, you were too much for us. We tried to conquer you a third time, but Everest, I want you to know that we are going to conquer you, for you cannot grow any bigger, but we can. These climbers realized a very important lesson. Every time you face a difficulty of trying to scale a Mount Everest in your life, you grow stronger from the lesson that you learned before. And their knowledge of the mountain, they were able to go back one day in 1933, I believe it was, and they were able to conquer Mount Everest and get to the top. So every time we as Christians face difficulties, we can remember to rely on God who makes us stronger from the previous difficulty for the next. As we see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David gladly offers to fight Goliath. Here's little old David. He offers to go fight Goliath while the rest of the army quivers and shakes and hides in the woods as Goliath comes out and defies not only the army, but the very God of Israel. David was irritated with that. He said, "What is he talking like that for? And how come we're not doing something about it? Don't we realize that he is attacking our God? Is there not a cause? Is there not something worth standing for? Is there not something that we believe in? Don't we believe in our God? And we're going to let him, this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, talk about our God in this way? I'm not. I'm going to do something about it." By the way, it always doesn't take an army to change things. All it does is take one person who's willing to believe in God to change everything. He was confident that he'd have the victory over the giant. What made David so eager to fight when even the mightiest of the men of Israel cowered in fear? King Saul was curious about that as well. So he goes to David and he asks him, "What makes you think you can win against this big old giant?" Young Saul saw that shepherd boy who had just come into camp and was willing to fight the giant. And David, as David was preparing for the battle, he looks over to him and he says, "Why do you think you can win?" And David says, verse 36 of our reading today, "I slew both lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." I thought about that for a while. God had given David the victory over a lion and a victory over the bear, and David was confident that if he could deliver him from those, then he could deliver them from this giant. And I thought about that. Think about that. If a Rottweiler came running towards you, what would you do? I would run, and I would hide. I'd get as far away from it as I could. How many pit bulls have you heard of killing people because they're in a battle? Yet David has his sheep. And he tells the story of how these sheep are sitting there. And one day a lion walks into to his flock and picks up a sheep by the mouth and bites down on that sheep and starts carrying it away. And David says, "Oh, no, you're not taking my sheep." And without anything in his hand, apparently, I know they didn't have guns back then. The Bible says that he took them by the beard and destroyed them. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been scared to death to do anything but run. I probably would have left the sheep sitting there, wouldn't you? And I would have said, "I'm going to hightail it for my life, and when everything's good, I'll just let them go. Just let them take that sheep. Just let them go." That's how many people would be too. But David said, "No, sir. I have a job to do. My job is to protect the sheep, and if it means giving my life for these sheep, I'm going to give my life for these sheep." And he doesn't say that he got himself the victory. He says the Lord gave it to him. Look what it says. "I went out after him and smote him and delivered him out and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And the serpent both, and the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine, one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear." So he knew that he didn't do it. He knew that God had done it. He had realized from the first lesson. Now, I don't know who was there first, the bear or the lion. But if I saw a bear, I'd play dead or something. I'd go do something. I wouldn't want to stay there. How many people have been devoured by bears? It doesn't say what kind of bear it was. It doesn't say it was a cub. If it was a cub, that'd even been worse because mama was there somewhere. Doesn't say if it was a grizzly bear, a black bear, a brown bear. I don't know what kind of bear it was. All I know is that bears are extremely powerful. And they're not meant to be a pet in your home like the dog. They've got nails on those things that'll scratch you one time and rip you to pieces. And David went to that bear and took that sheep out of the paw of that bear. It's got to be, think about that. That's amazing. Now, I might get a shotgun and go after the bear. I might get a rifle and go after the bear. I don't know that I'd want to have a handgun to go after the bear. I'm not sure it'd be powerful enough. I know that. I know this, that a friend of mine used to go hunting up in Alaska. And they used to go grizzly bear hunting because they have issues with grizzly bears up there. And every time they'd go as a group of people. There'd be at least four in the group, and one of them would be a scout or somebody whom they hired to take them to where the bears were at. A guide, a scout. And so this guide would always say this: when we find the bear, everyone must take aim from a different locations and shoot the bear at the same time. Because if we don't do it that way, and only one of us shoots, no matter how far away you are from them, the bullet will you could put the bullet right through their heart, and by the time they drop dead, they will have run to where you are at and clawed you to death and die on top of you where you're dead. So if we all shoot from different angles at the same time, it'll confuse him enough so by the time he gets to where you're at, he'll drop dead before he can kill you. Now that's scary. Yet David didn't have a group of people. David didn't have an elephant-sized gun to kill this bear with. As far as I know, maybe he had a little dagger. Maybe a sword. Maybe some stones. But not much. I don't know that I want to go up against the bear in that condition. But he says God delivered that bear. God delivered him from that lion. And God's going to take care of him as he faces this Goliath. Ladies and gentlemen, we all face Goliaths in our life all the time. Every step we have taken in our life, God has allowed us to go through to prepare us for the next battle that's in front of us. David didn't go naive to take care of this Philistine, this man now. He had taken first care of the lion, then the bear, and now Goliath. He is ready to do battle with Goliath. I know David wasn't a young man that carried armor with him. Maybe with the armor I would have gone, put my armor on, gone after the bear, after the lion with some protection, but I don't think he had any of that. And I know he didn't have any of that to go to take care of this Philistine, Goliath. But God wants us to be conquerors. David had seen the work of God in his life before and knew that God would deliver him again. And if he didn't, I don't think David would have been afraid to die there. He would have rather have fought and died than not fought and run. He would have rather had done something with his life and made an attempt to do something with his life than to step back and let other people perish and let the people and let God's name be defied rather than risk his own life. Many Christians are that way as well. We're willing to lay down what we believe in. We're willing to lay down our Bible. We're willing to lay down our faith. We're really ready to lay down the teachings of the Word of God so that we won't hurt anybody's feelings. But God says we need to stand for Him, conquer for Him, so that other people could see the work. Now let me ask you, you think David was doing the lion because other people were going to see him do it? I don't think anybody saw it. You think he was going to take care of the bear because of all he could boast and brag about it to other people? No, I don't think so. But he had had those experiences that brought him to the place where he knew he didn't have to be afraid of this Philistine. And by the way, if I had to face a pit bull face to face and a bearded, greasy, angry man, if I faced a pit bull, I surely can face the angry man. Amen. I can surely face the one that's trying to devour me. Because I have less fear of what the man can do to me than I know what that animal can do to me if he gets a hold of me. So David, as he prepared for battle, he was comfortable in knowing that God had delivered him before, and then God delivered him again, and that if God wanted to deliver him, he'd deliver him again. So how can we be conquerors? Let me give you some things we can learn right here from Scripture. Number one, have confidence that God will work in your life. Have confidence that God will work in your life. because of previous battles and trials in which God has allowed you to go through, He's preparing you for even greater mountains to be conquered in your life. Greater battles to be won in your life. So what's important then is to realize God will work. But we got to let God work. We got to realize that we can be a conqueror through Him that loves us, not through ourselves. I can't do anything. So many times that's what we try to do. We try to handle it. We try to figure it out. We try to lay out the steps and say, this is this step, here's the next step, here's the next step. I'm really bad at that. I'm the kind of person that's got to be organized. I just can't say, well, let's do this, let's set some dates, and then we'll get there somehow. I've got to have it figured out. I've got to do this, and then I've got to do this, and then I've got to do this, and I don't know. I didn't used to be that way when I was young, but as I've gotten older, I've become more and more that way. I've got to know, I've got to plan, I've got to prepare, and I've got to execute. But God says we're to depend on Him. Especially when it comes to trials and tribulations in our life. When it comes to the unknown. When it comes to what I don't know what to do here. I know that I'm facing an issue. It doesn't matter how big or how small your bear, lion, or Goliath may be. It doesn't matter how big or small your mountain may be. To you, it's massive. And it's going to take the power of God to deliver you. But we got to look back at what God has done for us in the past. Did He save me? Yes, He did. Has He answered prayers before? Yes, He has. Has He directed my path before? Yes, He has. Then I guess He'll take care of me in the future. Though I don't see an answer at the moment, I still can trust Him. Because I've trusted Him before. So how can I be a conqueror? Having confidence that God will work in your life if you'll let Him. There's the key words. Did you catch that? I didn't say those earlier. I just said them now. If you'll let Him. We have to let God. God never forces His way into your life. For many, many years after I got saved, I had a battle in my own heart and my own life trying to really believe that God would save me. Because if I didn't do this exactly right, I probably really didn't really get saved. People would say the question, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, I know I'm saved because Jesus saved me. Well, a lot of times that wasn't good enough for people. They want to know what big act or big thing happened, what transformed in your life. All I can tell you is that I was on my way to hell. I'm now on my way to heaven. I took Jesus as my Savior. I didn't do anything to get it. And then I'm supposed to do something to keep that which I didn't do to get anything to get? And it was a real battle because I had learned religion growing up. And religion says, you did this for God, then God will do this for you. If you don't do this for God, then God ain't going to do it for you. Well, God doesn't work that way. If you'll scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's not how God works. God's a respecter of no man. It took me a long time in my Christian life to learn that God is not a respecter of any man. Or anything we do. What He's a respecter of is faith. I have to do everything I do in life by faith. I have to let God be God instead of me be God. I have to let Him be my leader instead of me be my leader. I have to let Him be my guide rather than me be my guide. I have to let Him be my teacher instead of me being my teacher. I may have it all figured out. And not yet one time in my Christian life when it comes to spiritual things have anything ever worked out the way I think it should. Something always jumps inside there that I have no control over and I have to run to God and I don't know what to do. By the way, that's when most of us quit. Because we lose control. We either give it to God or we just walk away. David was in that position. He had really shot his mouth off already. Hey, what's going on here? Why is everybody running? Can't we hear what he's saying? Yeah, but what are you going to do about it, David? Well, I'm going to go after him. Oh, yeah? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, David. Oh, I will. Maybe I won't. That's how many times we are. Well, I think I will. Maybe I won't. David said, I know what God's done. And if God did it before, He'll do it again. And by the way, if God has done it before, He will do it again. And maybe He hasn't done it in your life, but I can find out places in the Bible where I know He's done it. And if I lose, I lose. I love what Naomi said in the book of Ruth. If I perish, I perish. I'm glad about that. That's not the right book, but I know it's in there somewhere. But Naomi did say, if I perish, I perish. Esther. The book of Esther. It's important to know that I can trust God regardless of what's going to happen. Number two, how can you be a conqueror? How can we be a conqueror? How can all of us be a conqueror? Number two, realize how much stronger you are because of all the trials you've already come through. Realize how much stronger you are already by all the trials that you've already come through. I don't want to compare myself with anybody else because the Bible says it's not wise to compare yourself with anyone else. But I do want to look at my life. And I want to remember what God has done in my life and how He's delivered me over and over again. I can't look at my parents' life. I can't look at my husband's life. I can't look at my wife's life. I can't look at my children's life. I can't look at my church member friend's life. I can't look at my preacher's life. I can't look at my neighbor's life. I got to look at my life. David didn't tell anything about anybody else. He said, this is how I know God worked in my life. And that's what you have to know. Go back and remember what God has brought you from and where He's bringing you to. I don't even need to know the end result. I just need to remember what He's done for me. No one's ever loved me like Jesus. I guarantee you that. I have never felt love from Him like I felt love from anyone else. Though I've never seen Him. Though He's never held me. I could swear I've been in His arms more than one time. What has He done for you? You ought to write it down. You ought to keep a little memory book of all the things God has done for you. You ought to rehearse it in your mind when our children were little. And then receive Christ as our Savior. We used to rehearse it with them all the time. We'd say, did you ask Jesus to come in your heart? Wow, good, wonderful. When did you do that? Where were you at? Who talked to you about it? Do you remember what you said? Do you remember when it was? We used to rehearse that with them over and over again. Why would you do that, preacher? For them to remember what God has done for them. When I go to my prayer closet and I go away and I pray to God, I remind God of what He's done for me in the past. I rehearse those victories I've had. I also rehearse my failures. Because my failures remind me of where I got involved. My victories remind me of where God got involved. My victories teach me that I can depend on God. My failures teach me when I don't depend on God. And so I recall these things. I talk to God about these things. That's why I'm such a storyteller when I preach. I'm rehearsing what God has done in my life. I'm remembering how He has taken care of me. So we need to realize how much stronger we become because of the trials and tribulations we have been through. That we've already come through them. And God will deliver us from them again. So how can I be a conqueror? Remembering where I've been and knowing God will continue to take care of me in the future. So your strength comes because you learn to trust Christ and not in yourself. I love that again. Let me read that again. And the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. So He must have been in their paws. He must have been awful close. He must have been in their battles for His life, literally. It was no walk in the park that He had this battle with this lion or this battle with this bear. I imagine after it was all done and they finally threw the bear off of him or threw the lion off of him and got up off the ground, I'm sure he was full of blood and cuts and bruises and maybe even broken bones, but he won. Nowhere in the Bible does it say the war is going to be easy. Nowhere does it say there'll never be a wound. Nowhere does it say that you won't go through some setbacks. But it does say the victory will be yours if you continue to trust in the Lord. I imagine he's out of breath. I would have been exhausted. Me, on my part, I've been exhausted from running as far and as fast as I did away from the situation. But David was exhausted because of the battle that he faced. I'm amazed, too, that when the battle really comes to you personally, other people don't understand how you can get through it. But you do. They don't understand the comfort that God provides, but you do. And you, nobody understands how you feel the victory is already yours. I already know it. How you know? I have nothing to lose. And that's how David felt. He had nothing to lose. If you did lose your life standing for Christ and standing for His Word and standing for everything, if you did lose your life, what did you lose? Nothing. I gained heaven. I've lost nothing. See, I've lost. Here's what I've lost. I lost temptation. I lost having to fight with the devil every day. I've lost having to get frustrated because I've lost my battle to the devil that particular day.
Where did I lose? I lose going through the ups and downs of the human life, trying to mix with the Christian life. I lost what Paul says. I'm in a battle between two. I have a desire to do the right thing, but I find within me a law that makes me, that says I'm going to end up to do the wrong thing. That's not exactly a quote from him, but that's what he's saying. I'm just saying, what did I lose? I lost having heartache. I've lost having heartbreak. I've lost having illnesses. I've lost having frustrations. I've lost anger. Wait a minute now. What did I lose? I really guess I lost nothing. What did I gain? I gained the presence of my Savior. I've gained heaven. I've gained the mansion that He's prepared for me. I am never going to, and you're never going to die until the Lord has prepared that time for you. It's appointed unto man. It's appointed unto man. It means there's an appointed time set by God. It's appointed unto man once to die. That means God has a time set. He had a time set when you're going to be born. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first child. We didn't have any experience with childbirth at all. The only thing I'd seen born before my wife gave birth to our daughter was guppies in a fish tank one time. That was it. And so I had no idea what was going to take place. But I know that they said, she's not quite ready yet. Go walk around the hospital for a little while. Do what? They'll hurry the baby along. The baby didn't come till it baby come. It didn't matter what we did. I remember some people said, well, get in the car and drive over a bunch of bumpy roads. That'll help the baby to come. It didn't help. That's not the right word. What did they tell us to drink? Do you remember?
Castor oil.
And that doesn't work either. That cleans out something else. It doesn't take care of that baby. They said do all sorts of things. But can I tell you, that baby was born the moment that baby decided that God had appointed for that baby to be born. Some people can go through hours. I think my wife went through 36 hours of labor with our very first child. Wow, that's a long time. That's a couple minutes. Yeah, that's a lot of pain. Wasn't a lot of... The baby came when the baby came. When the baby came. So the baby comes when the baby comes. We go to heaven when it's time. We can't hurry that along any quicker or slow that down any more than we can do that of a baby. Our youngest daughter was born premature. And they used to tell my wife, we need to do this, you need to lay down, we need to be on this medication, we need to do that over here. So try to slow the coming of the child. But can I tell you that she was born, when she was born, there wasn't going to be anything to stop her. And if you know Jennifer now, nothing stops her when she decides to put her mind to something. She's coming when she comes. And the truth is that you can't hurry a baby, you can't slow a baby. When it's time for it to be born, it's time for it to be born, no matter what goes on around that child. And when it's time to go to heaven, it's time to go to heaven. No matter what you do to try to prolong your life or shorten your life, it's appointed. It's an appointment that God sets up for you. God knows exactly what day that is. So I don't have to worry about it. I'm only going to die when it's time for me to die. So that means if I get into a battle and I end up with some scrapes and scratches and pains and broken bones, but I win the battle for Christ, hey, I won another battle. That gives me something more to believe in the future. So I said, number one, have confidence that God will work in your life so you can be a conqueror. Number two, to be a conqueror, you can realize how much stronger you are because of the trials you went through. Number three, simply trust God and rely on Him to help you through. Simply trust God and rely on Him to help you through. You can be a conqueror if you'll simply trust God. Rely on Him. He will help you through. Don't become discouraged. And don't quit in the middle of the battle. Because He's the one that's with you. The battle may be raging all about you. You may not know which way to turn or where to go. But He's there. He's there to fight for you. He's there to defend you. So keep living in faith when everybody says you don't need faith. Keep living in prayer, even though people say you don't need to walk in prayer. So keep fighting in faith. Keep walking in prayer. Keep living in His Word. Live in His Word. Make it a part of your life. Live in it. Make sure you eat it, drink it, breathe it, think it. Live in it. Make it a part of you. And then finally, trust His Word. His word by literally making it part of you. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So I need to hide God's word in my heart. I make it a part of me, bringing it inside of me. So keep fighting in faith, keep walking in prayer, keep living in His word, keep trusting in His word by making it a part of you, and you will be a conqueror. Why? Because I said so? No, because God says so. David was a man that lived in the Word of God. David was a man of faith. David was a man of prayer. David was a man who had the Word of God as a part of him. So much as a part of him that God used him as a pen to give us some of the Word that we have today in the book of Psalms. So don't give up. Don't walk back to the ways of the world that are calling us so strongly. By the way, that's where our biggest battle is at. As the world is calling us back, calling us back. Listen, it's so much easier to do it this way. It's so much better to do it this way. You don't have to go through that war. You don't have to go through that battle. You don't have to go through that difficulty. But those are the things that build you up and make you strong. Remember, the center of the fight, and the most important time of the fight, it's when you remember that you're just trusting in Jesus by faith. Trusting in His Word by faith. I'm doing this because this is what the Word of God says. And I'm trusting Him to get through it. I don't like exercises. I hate working out. I hate it. I have worked out once. One day. 15 minutes. I don't like working out. Can I tell you why? I get sore. Can I tell you why? It takes up time that I want to do other things with because I shouldn't have to put myself through that kind of punishment just so I can feel better. Wait a minute, how can I be feeling better when I feel so much more lousy for doing this? Oh, you'll have more energy when you're over. Not me. Now, other people may, they may go, oh, hey, when I worked out, boy, now I got all sorts of energy. Me, I go, I used it all up in there and I ain't got nothing left. I don't like to lift weights. You know why? Because they're heavier than I am. The biggest weight I lift is a weight that I lift up off my chair. The second biggest weight I lift is when I lift my hand in my mouth as I eat at the table. I just don't like to do those things. But I've learned that I got to do some of those things. I got to walk. I like doing push-ups, believe it or not. I do like them. I can't imagine why. I tremble when I get to the last few that I'm going to do and I fall on my face. Oh man, come on, you can do one more, you can do one more. No, my whole body hurts. But I do it. And I'm able to lift stuff. I get three. The fourth one's like that. I'm just saying that. I like that. I like being able to walk. I like being able to go up and down steps without going... just came up a flight. I got another two steps in front of me. I'm not going to make it. Walking helps me make it up the steps. Amen. Exercising helps you because you have some resistance there. I learned this when I was a youngster. If I did it once before and working out, I can do it again. I can get back there again. I can run that way again. I can lift that weight again. I can build myself back up. I can continue on. And it's that resistance to me that causes me to get the strength I need to go on. And that's the same truth that we learned here about David. David had a resistance against him. And it made him strong enough to continue on. God has given you resistance in your life for one thing. For you to learn to trust Him more and more and more and more. Look at what happened as a result of David's victory. He was encouraged and excited. He lifted up the whole army of Israel. He encouraged the king of the nation of Israel. The people of Israel went up against the Philistines and beat them and won. And they gave the glory to God and the honor and to God. And God was magnified and glorified because one man said, I can take this resistance. I can't imagine how scared it would be to have to be out there facing that big old Goliath by yourself. But I know that he didn't get messed up like maybe he did with the lion and the bear. But I know that he won, just like he won against the lion and the bear. But he was much closer to the lion than the bear. As the Bible said, he was in their paw. But when it came to Goliath, he used a slingshot and nailed him before he ever got even close to him. Got close enough to sever his head from his shoulders so he could hold it up in victory. Look what God has done. And you know, isn't it a wonderful thing when you can look at someone else and say, look what God has done. I didn't do this. Look what God has done. Father, thank you for what we've learned today. Holy Spirit, I ask.